with Robert McCormick. News and views with the newsmakers and you on News 74 KCBS.
All right, radio buffs, stay tuned for a special edition of Nightbeat, Radio Nostalgia, as we look back to some of the great programs on the air and, of course, some of the great personalities. And I've got a couple of them with me right here tonight.
The American
tonight.
Broadcasting Company presents Dude Martin Radio Rancho.
Good evening to Ken Ackerman and Ed Brady. Nice to have you guys here tonight.
Nice to be here.
All right, let's get a little background, first of all, on two of the veterans, two of the most well-known voices in San Francisco Bay Area radio. We know Ken, KCBS, will get, of course, to you first. You've been... When did you start at KCBS?
I started in the early winter of 42, and I've been going nonstop since.
How'd you get the job, Ken? Do you remember how you got the job?
Yes, I auditioned the week of Pearl Harbor. I was working in Sacramento at KFBK in Sacramento and auditioned, and I guess it was about a month later, they sent a wire and said, hey, come to work. And actually, at that time, I really didn't want to come to work because we were in war then. Who wanted to come to San Francisco? Yeah. We were going to be bombed. Yeah. But I came to San Francisco, and it's been nonstop.
How about you, Ed Brady?
Well, let's see. I started in radio in Denver in 1939 with the old Blue Network, KVOD. Stayed there about a year or two, year and a half, and then went to KOA, which was the Red Network. From there, I went into the Air Force.
Wait, they called them Blue and Red back then?
Yeah. NBC owned two complete networks. And KGO was part of the Blue Network in those days. They sold the entire network for $8 million.
To a
man named Noble, who owned the Lifesaver Corporation.
That's right. Noble, I'd forgotten that name.
Yep. Yeah. And he got about 200 and some odd stations for $8 million.
And they used to say, this is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company. Yep. This is the Blue Network of the National Broadcasting Company.
When did you come to San Francisco, Ed?
I came here right after the war, but I was stationed at Hamilton Field, flying out of there, and got to know this area quite well. So I loved it here.
You spent most of your broadcast career at KNBR, right?
Most of it, yes. Right. In fact, my entire career was all with NBC.
NBC, I wanted to ask you something, Ed.
Yes.
I worked one side of the street, CBS. You worked NBC, KPO. Mm-hmm. Now, you guys played a funny little sigh, a sound at the end of all your programs. Went something like this. How did you do that? Was that a mechanical? Did you have little mallets that you hit?
Originally, we did it with a mallet.
You really did? Did the announcers
hit? We had the real chimes right there. Yeah. And they had three little notes there, GEC, and the GEC stood for our parent corporation, which was General Electric. GEC.
That's the way it started.
Came from.
Okay, now when you guys started here, radio was all live, right? Was there any transcriptions? Or wasn't most of the programming...
There were transcriptions, we had to, by law, we had to identify...
Every time there was something that was recorded.
At first we had to say, by electrical transcription. And then we tried to bury it, we'd say, transcribed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that was a small percentage of the programming, right?
Quite small. Before the war, we used aluminum-based acetate, and during the war, aluminum was not available. We had glass-based acetates, and if you dropped a glass-based record, you lost a program.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, tape, wire recording came in, and then tape came after that.
I can tell you an interesting story about how tape got here. A fellow named Jack Mullen, who was with the OSS during the war, and he was a partner of Bill Palmer of Palmer Films.
Yes, yes. Famous name.
He found a tape machine in Germany, in East Germany, which is now East Germany, and sent it back in pieces to his partner, Bill, over here, and they assembled the thing over here.
You mean secretly sent it back?
Well, sort of, I guess. We won't go into that. But anyway, it arrived, and they installed it in our studios down at KPO and recorded the very first Bing Crosby Craft Music Hall on that.
And
on
Crosby
that
was well into...
He was the first person to do a tape recording.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
The names of the people who really started in radio, who were synonymous actually in the latter part of their careers with television, Jack Benny, Fred Allen, Edgar Burke, and Fibber McGee and Molly, Bob Hope. All of these programs started on the radio. Did they originate in New York, L.A., or did some of the great programs originate in San Francisco?
Well, no. They visited here. We're going to hear some excerpts from them. They visited here, but for the most part, there were three main centers. for broadcasting. Chicago was one, predominantly for dramatic shows and soap operas. New York was the big center, and then later on, Hollywood came along.
All right. There were a few that originated in San Francisco.
Some of the, well, let's
one
hear
man's
one.
Family.
Listen, well, here we go.
One Man's Family, brought to you by the makers of Royal Desserts and Tenderleaf Tea. One Man's Family is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. Tonight we present Chapter 9, Book 54, entitled Lieutenant Jack Barber Leaves for the Pacific.
Now, it's most interesting. Lieutenant Jack Barber actually did leave for the Pacific. He was in service, yes. His name was Page Gilman. He was a lieutenant in the Air Force. It would have been the Army. Lieutenant in the Army. He was stationed at Fort Sill, and he appeared infrequently on One Man's Family. And in the show, they actually said goodbye to Lieutenant Gilman, and he went out to the Pacific, and here's a part of the episode where he's saying goodbye to his family.
Well, time's getting short.
Of course it is. I've kept you longer than I meant.
Oh, no, just that I still got to see Dad and Paul and Teddy, and I want to get back up to Betty before the Jeep gives me the beep-beep.
Naturally.
Here, give me a hand.
Oh, you go ahead. I'll go up and talk to Mother a little.
Hey, how about a kiss?
Of course. A girl's very proud and happy to have a brother like you, Jack, dear.
See you after Tokyo.
Yep. Go on now.
Yeah.
After Tokyo.
Huh? Is that you, Jack?
Yeah, I've just been saying goodbye to Mom and Hazel.
So soon?
Yep. They'll be dropping by for me in about 15 minutes.
So seldom you're with us, so soon you go.
Dad, you know I'm going to get a great pleasure out of two mental pictures of you.
Huh?
One of them sitting here in that big chair before the fire.
Very famous program in San Francisco, Robert. It was on the air the late 30s on into, I would guess, the early 50s, Ed, wouldn't you say?
Yes,
or late
40s. So that was, as we say today, syndicated in other areas, other markets.
Well, this was not well, it made
just San Francisco.
No, but it was the setting was San Francisco. The program started in San Francisco, and then, as happened to some good programs that started in San Francisco, went to Hollywood. It went Hollywood.
Yeah.
But the setting remained San Francisco. The family lived in Seacliff, and they had a ranch outside San Francisco called Sky Ranch, I think it was, some such. Anyway, that's part of the story of One Man's Family by Carlton E. Morse.
All right, more with Ken Ackerman and Ed Brady.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to hear is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent. Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case transcribed from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Wednesday, July 23rd. It was warm in Los Angeles. We were working the night watch out of robbery detail. My partner's Frank Smith. The boss is Chief of Detectives Thad Brown. My name's Friday. I was on my way back from the main jail.
What year is that, Ken?
That was 54.
Didn't sound like Jack.
February 9th, 1954.
Jack Webb. He was a kid.
He was in his late 20s. I would say mid 20s. Yes. Mm-hmm. The most famous of the cop type themes, and of course one of the most famous detective type stories. But you know that program was in Hollywood, but he originated in San Francisco. He was a KGO, wasn't it, Ed? A KGO announcer. He was a KGO announcer, and before he did Dragnet, he had a program called Pat Novak for Hire. Sort of a comedy-type detective show, but you want to hear part of that, Ron?
Love to.
Here it is. This is Pat Novak for Hire.
Sure. I'm Pat Novak for Hire. That's what the sign out in front of my office says. Pat Novak for Hire. You don't get in the blue book that way, but you don't embarrass your friends either. Because down on the waterfront in San Francisco, they don't separate the good and the bad. It was about 7 o'clock, and I just started back across the bay from Sausalito. You could still see Mount Tamalpais squatting on the Marin shore, light brown near the top, but dark and black farther down, like a cupcake that's been in the oven a little too long. A low fog was beginning to squeeze in on the far side, so I kicked in the searchlight, and that's when I picked him up. He was struggling feebly with his face near the water, and
I want to find out what happened to that guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm here. I have the whole show if you
want to
hear it.
Boy, that was... So it's all San Francisco
all
references.
San Francisco.
Throughout,
he was at KGO at the time, an announcer, an actor at KGO. But before that, that was March 6, 1949. Before that, about 3 years before that, Jack was also in San Francisco, and he was a comedian at that time.
A lot of people
don't know that.
Jack Webb was a comedian.
He had a show called The Jack Webb Show, and, well, for better, for worse, here is a part of the show from January 10, 1946.
3 hours and I haven't had a case. This inactivity is maddening. I'm in a rut. I might as well admit it. As a last resort, I may telephone my sweetheart, Peaches LaTool. Too late now. I have a murder on my hands. Hello, this is the Razor. Who's been murdered? No murder? Oh, you have the wrong number. What? Who? Bufano? Benny Bufano? The press club cat has been stolen? What? What? No, don't touch a thing. This looks serious. You know, Bufano, I suspect the archenemy of the Razor, Stan Strop. I'll go to work on him right away. The press club cat stolen. Being held for ransom. I wonder why. Those poor reporters.
I want to give them up for people who want to reminisce with Ed and Ken or got a question. I don't think you're going to be able to stump these guys. They know just about everything. And if they don't get the research.
However, we're reaching an age where we don't remember everything.
Our toll-free number is 1-800-228-5227 in Northern California on the news station, KCBS. 1-800-228-KCBS. And I think this one's for Ed Brady. Sam in Redwood City, you're on Night B. How you doing?
Hi. You've been mentioning a call sign KPO, and I know enough history to know that that is now KNBR. I'd like to know when the call sign changed, what KNBR stands for, or why it was chosen, and where were KPO's old studios back in the golden days of radio?
KPO's studios originally were in the Hale Brothers department store, and then later moved over to 111 Sutter up on the top floors. And then later, about the time I arrived here after the war, they were at 420 Taylor in our brand new building there.
Yes. Who's there? Is there another studio there now? They had great facilities at on Taylor Street. Why did they move to Fox Plaza?
I think their lease ran out or they sold the building.
Typical story. Rent went up is probably what
happened. Didn't Channel 44 go into...
Channel 44 came in there, yes. They were owned then by Kaiser.
Where's KNBR now?
KNBR is down on the waterfront, across from, Pier 29, I think.
But the gentleman asked the question, Robert, about when KPO changed call letters from KPO to KNBR.
Don't we have a program that will tell him to answer his question?
This was called Hail and Farewell, and I'll tell you, this was an event when, in 1947, KPO said goodbye to that call letter and brought in KNBC, and then they changed later to KNBR. Here we go.
Hail and farewell. During the next hour, KPO becomes KNBC. Our music is music of memories, through the years. And from now until 7 o'clock, you will hear voices out of the past and voices of today. Governor Earl Warren of California, Niles Trammell, president of the National Broadcasting Company, Fred Allen, and a host of others. This is Hail and Farewell.
Now, at that time, and certainly in line with the fact that KNBR is no longer going to be part of the NBC network, and they at one point were broadcasting national news from here on the radio. I know a lot of
Yes, we were too at CBS, yes.
But what year did that stop? What year did that, you know, when they stopped?
They had
a national network newscast out of San Francisco on the radio.
Well, during the Vietnam War and the Korean War.
Because KNBR.
Thomas Folster over in Korea.
On a regular basis.
And we would bring him up at about 7 in the morning.
Oh, yes, we did that. We channeled a lot of newscasts from Asia through our studios to New York, and then it was sent out to the network.
We had to be opened up at 4 o'clock here in the morning in order to receive their broadcast to New York.
Yes.
Had to get up that early, huh?
I missed a couple of those.
You
Yes,
yeah, we used to bring them in by way of RCA up at near Point Reyes, if I recall. Mm-hmm. And we used to call them, and they would say to us, it's coming in 5x5, I think was the term. Wasn't it? The term 5x5.
It's an old radio
clear
expression.
Signal, yeah.
Now, that was Hal Wolf, incidentally, the announcer on that program.
In 1947?
1947.
It's not so clear. Now, how do you keep the quantity
so clear? I tell you, I must thank Frank Knight, who's in the newsroom now preparing for his all-night program. Frank Knight, Dave Amaral, who was a technician for KPO, NBC.
He was with us many years.
And he's down at NBC Television in Hollywood now. Thank Dave Amaral and Jack Bethards, who is with the Schoenstein Organ Company. He owns, as a matter of fact, in San Francisco. All three of them contributed tapes for our broadcast.
Let's go to Dan in San Rafael. You're on KCBS Night Beat with Ed Brady and Ken Ackerman. Dan, go ahead.
Good evening. Hey, I like the show. I just can't seem to get enough of these old-time radio shows. Are they available on tape anywhere?
Well, I think through record shops. I don't know whether Tower Record has them, but you can get some of them. I'm sure you can't get on. What do you know about that, Ed?
I know very little, actually.
You know, I don't think
that
it's,
particular
it's
aspect
not like
of
the old
it,
movie, the videos that they're bringing
but
out.
But there are avid collectors. Now, whether the collectors want to share with people, I don't know. But some of these are available on cassette, on tape.
There's no catalog, though, of old radio shows.
I bet you went into a major record store, Rainbow, the Record Factory, places like that. They must have a catalog.
Okay. There's your answer.
Question?
Okay, Dan.
Can you give me some information on a six-shooter, when that was made?
No, I don't know. That's the Jimmy Stewart program. No, I don't know. I know nothing about the six-shooter. I don't know which network it was on. It was not on CBS. If it was on CBS, it was outside my shift. So I don't know anything about the six-shooter. I'm sorry.
All right, let's go to Mary Ann Los Gatos on KCBS. Hi, Mary Ann.
Hi, and good evening. I was not only a fan of the Burdicks, but also as a child, but knew them personally. And I don't remember what... what radio station they were on.
Hal Burdick, the night editor, was on KCBS, and here's the tail end of one of those
candy bars.
Yeah, here's the end of one of those programs.
Now for a preview of tomorrow's yarn by the night editor. Back to Hal Burdick's news office.
Well, I've got a story with some dramatic action and some smiles for tomorrow night. It's a football yarn titled Rub-a-Dub. No, it isn't about the three men in a tub. It's about a lad who got himself into a jam, and another lad who found a strange way to help him win a football game and his self-respect. I'll tell you about it when we meet in my office tomorrow evening. Good night.
Rub-a-Dub sounds like an exciting yarn, Hal, and we'll be there to hear you tell it. Remember, tomorrow night at the same time, press time. Clarence Cassell speaking.
Marianne, remember that?
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting.
I see him sitting in front of his fireplace in his study with a big old organ in the corner, and then his wife, Kate,
who was
Dr. Kate.
She was Dr. Kate. That was Cornelia.
Right.
Yes, and I also have a tape segment of hers, but we don't have time before 10 to play it. I think between 10 and 11 we'll hear actually Cornelia, in an excerpt from tonight at 9:30. Remember that program?
Right. Thank you for giving me lots of yummy memories.
Oh, stay tuned. We got plenty more to come now. This is a special edition of Night Beat. We'll be here. I've got these guys saying they're going to stay with me till midnight. Okay, folks? Brian in Sunnyvale, you're on KCBS.
Yes, a couple of questions here regarding KFRC. Where were they before they moved to 610 on the dial, and who owned KFRC before RKO took over?
Well, I think they were always at 610 on the dial, but they were at 1000 Van Ness in the Cadillac building.
Yeah. On the Don Lee Network.
The Don Lee Network, yes. And the place not only sold Cadillacs, but they had a great radio station up on the second floor, and we have some wonderful programs of the happy days of KFRC, say pre-1955.
That was before I worked there then.
Yeah. Well, that's right, you were an alum, aren't you?
I was there for about 12 years. Now, Merv Griffin got his start there,
sure,
right?
Yes.
We got a lot of stories coming up. Some of the programs are going to hear in the 10 o'clock hour,
my goodness,
Ken.
Jack Benny, Fred Allen, Fibber McGee, maybe little Sherlock Holmes, Sam Spade, Merv Griffin, you name it.
All right.
Got a lot of it.
Ken Ackerman, Ed Brady, my guests on Night Beat as we go back into the vaults. The Golden Vaults, the heyday of radio. And, of course, we invite you to stay tuned. We'll continue after CBS Covers the World at 10 o'clock. There is a fire working in San Francisco. News 74's Chris Cutter is on the scene of that fire, and he'll have the latest for us on that as well. Night Beat, produced by Sabine Bannon, Irene Segura, the director tonight, Lee Hammer at the editor's desk. My name is Robert McCormick. Special edition, more radio nostalgia for you, coming up right after 10 on the news station.